I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is an action and sci-fi movie podcast. We are so happy you guys are listening today. I just want to start with a little story. About 1 hour ago, I came out of my bedroom, and Rhea Butcher, the Lady James Dean, was laying on the couch and silent, and I thought that I was in trouble. And then I just kind of like made some beans or whatever. And then she went, she just went from nothing. If women had been able to play baseball, steroids never would have happened.
We've never talked about baseball.
I said it wouldn't be happening
one
right
day,
now.
We've never talked about baseball. We certainly didn't talk about it today.
I put down my beans, and I said to myself and to her, what is this? What is this opinion? What is this glory?
What is baseball?
Yeah, what is baseball? So then she explained baseball to me. We talked about the Tampa Ray Sharks and other people.
Tampa Ray?
The Tampa Bay Sharks?
No, the Tampa Ray Sharks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. We talked about Ray Charles.
The Tampa Ray Charles.
We talked about...
They're good.
Yeah,
Can't catch anything.
Oh, so I'm going to welcome you guys to the show. These are our two panelists here, and I am so happy to have them. We're having a good time tonight, actually. This is a really goofy, loose, Lucy.
Really silly today.
We're feeling like
goofy, really goofy Lucy.
So I want to welcome the Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona, to the show.
What a new people!
You seem chill and chill, relaxed and...
I don't know if you guys noticed, I am wearing shorts tonight.
You are wearing shorts.
Making all the difference.
And you were saying that you didn't have the best day at work today, which I think sometimes leads to a great night, you know, when you... Then you finally are... Because, hey, we've all been there.
We've all been there.
Tough day on the job.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys are here for me right now.
Yeah.
I appreciate
very
it.
Very much. You're not at work anymore.
No, I'm not. I'm with you, my friends.
This is just friendship yelling.
Yay!
Rhea Butcher, the Lady James Dean, how are you doing?
I'm good. I feel good, other than, you know, being really engulfed in baseball and thinking about it and trying to figure out where my loyalty lies because I've taken a bit of a respite from following baseball. So if anybody has any suggestions, I'd love to find out what teams
just
you
follow.
Just
general baseball suggestions?
No, like teams and why you follow them and why they're your favorite team. And
is there a reason to follow baseball teams besides that being where you live?
There's like a fierce loyalty to baseball teams even if you move.
Oh, okay.
Like, I am a White Sox fan to the day I die.
There
oh,
you
my
go.
God.
That's well, real men wear black.
You know,
come on
who
now.
I love
Thank
is
you.
My high school football team. They were great. I really love those guys. They are great. Oh, when are they going to go to the World Series?
But I also saw Pacific Rim... in IMAX in 3D.
This weekend.
And it was really great. And I stand by my opinion that even though no one in this country cares about it and the box office tanked, thank you, China, I agree with you.
Okay, great. Rhea Butcher, ladies and gentlemen.
All.
Just killing it off
Starting
top.
With declarations.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about movie news on the show. We're going to talk about our hopes and dreams, declarations, things we've learned. We're going to brush off that work day. We're going to start your work day. Or maybe you're done. Or I don't know, maybe you're running. Why are you slowing down? Speed up. Get in shape. And we're also going to give you a brief review of the movie End of Watch, which is currently available on Netflix Watch Instant. And I will also say right up top, if you haven't seen this movie, sometimes when we watch a movie, it's like it's fun to talk about it. And that's it. This movie, if you haven't seen it, you should pause the show and go watch it. Early little excerpt of my review to say, watch this movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, watch it. But the review will come at the end. There will be some spoilers, but we'll let you know ahead of time. So we're going to start the show with some movie news. We'll be back to talk about that in just a second. Well, guys, I think we're done. I think we're at the end of it. And I'm going to tell you what I mean. We didn't talk about this last week, and we need to. Superheroes. I think we're done. I think we might be done. Because Batman and Superman are going to be in the Man of Steel sequel. So is that it, do you guys think?
No.
Okay, all right. Convince me.
I don't
think that's it. I'm on board with this. I actually wrote something that's on our Tumblr page in regards to this. And it is about the fact that I'm not excited that it's Batman and Superman. I would be more excited if it was Superman and Lex Luthor, and if Lex Luthor was played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's a good Lex Luthor. Yeah. That honestly
Here's
is. That's a great
all call. My money.
Yikes.
Take
Yowza.
It.
No, that's
I'll
good.
Be there.
That's really good. What if Lex Luthor is also Batman?
What?
Just an idea.
What?
Why would this not happen?
What?
It's perfect.
Are you pitching Inception right now?
Yeah, yeah, I
or
am.
Is it Shutter Island?
What's going on? The Lex Luthor is coming from inside the Batman. That's right. Yeah. It's Shutter Island. Right.
Shutter
He's
Island.
Been on the.
Where's the whiteboard?
Yeah.
Hold that whiteboard.
There is. I mean, because
Chalkboard.
I guess what I'm saying
Sorry.
Is like that's what we've been waiting for, right? I mean, that's what all this has been building to, correct? I mean, what else can they possibly?
Well, it was
like,
the
what
Justice
What else
League.
Are they going to do? Yeah, okay, the Justice League. But
I
like,
think that idea has been tanked.
Yeah, DC is now trying... DC is looking at what Marvel's doing and going, okay, we're just going to do that.
But
Let's
I mean, the Avengers
quick.
Is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that, those movies have been very successful, but they also don't have the legacy of Batman and Superman. I mean, people that are going to see the Avengers movies are people that like the comics or don't, but... I mean, who is not aware of the lore of Batman and Superman?
Right. So you're saying the reason why the Avengers has been so successful is because we don't have the pop culture attachment that we had
with No, I just mean, like,
Superman
I think
event.
This is end of times. Like, after okay. this movie comes out...
Oh, it can end.
What,
we're good.
What else do we need to see is what I'm
see.
Saying. What I'm saying
I
is, like,
see.
What else can they make after that? What are they going to make? Like, they either have to make the movie where Batman and Superman hang out, and then the sequel where their kids hang out, and then the sequel where their grandkids get married. Those, or they have to just stop making superhero movies. Because what else are they going to do? That's it. They've done it.
But it just keeps... It's like,
oh, She-Hulk.
You just keep remaking it.
I would love
She-Hulk
to see
movie.
That's true.
Wonder Woman... The Golden Girls? Come on, there's choices! Choices!
I just feel like this is gonna... I mean, the other reason I think that we're nearing the end of this phase that has been so successful for so long, but also has kind of destroyed moviedom, because it is so hard to have a successful new franchise now, because they bank on these existing franchises, and they bank on remaking these properties. They are pitching Iron Man 12, and they are killing Elysium. So in
well,
my mind, I am... Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I am ready to get to the other side of this. I'm happy to see the Batman Superman movie, but I'm ready to get to the other side of it. And my other proof that we're almost done is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being on TV. Because they have trickled down movies into primetime television. And I feel like after that, what else will we have
now,
left?
Who are you more upset with? The comic book people who are making these movies happen, or the comic book people who just write the comic books, or Hollywood who is making these movies?
I don't know that I'm upset. I mean, I do like them. Mm-hmm. I do like these movies sometimes, and they're fun to see. But I think my disappointment, maybe that's the word for it, is just that because they know they have these bankable properties, it's really crushing the independent screenwriter. It's really crushing new ideas, and it's really crushing cool innovation. I mean, aliens have now been around for, you know, however many decades, and bombing the White House has now been around for however many decades, and it just feels like we're recycling the same stuff. I would love to see something new. This is one reason I'm really excited about Elysium, which we are going to review for next week's show, because it does seem like that director is kind of trying his best to stay out of this kind of pigeonholing studio system. So anyway, that's why I'm bringing this up, because I think we're almost at the end of it. There's nothing else I can... It's the Super Bowl of baseball, I believe is what we're going to see.
It's the Stanley Cup of ping pong.
Of the Ryder Cup.
I
also want to just bring this up, which is really interesting. We didn't talk about this back in June, but in June, Google announced that they have the ability to predict box office opening weekends 4 weeks out. So they can predict a month in advance how a movie is going to do based on like their search function and everything that they're accruing with a 94% accuracy. And so that's now. And again, this kind of feeds into this whole thing of new movies versus existing properties. So now Google can predict 94%. I mean, in 2 years, do they? Is this like I feel like I'm about to get into like an abortion debate.
Oh my
This is like,
hey,
finally.
Yeah,
Jamiroquai was right. That's what I have to say.
What does that mean?
Virtual reality? Okay, forget it.
Pure
virtual
sanity made up.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's what it seems like, but to me, because it's all just projection. And then people, if they say like, "Oh, this movie's gonna do horrible," then nobody goes. And like, who cares
that's
about
scary,
the box office?
That's the
office?
Scary part about like, it. Yeah, that's what I don't
really?
Like.
Really?
Yes, that's
because what they're not saying is we're interested in making new movies. What they're saying is we're interested in making successful movies.
Yeah, it's
and a successful
stocks.
Movie isn't necessarily a good movie.
Well,
it's just successful.
That's interesting. Also, that we now have this very advanced functionality. I think this is kind of what you're saying as well, Rhea, which is that like we're able to do this, and yet this summer has been huge successes. I mean, Iron Man. Did great. Man of Steel is still doing great. But also some of the biggest flops in recent memory with Lone Ranger and Pacific Rim was a financial flop and R.I.P.D.
R.I.P. R.I.P.D.
That R.I.P. R.I.P.D. And After Earth and White House Down tanked so hard. Like After Earth tanked so hard that they are, that I was listening to The Business, which is a great podcast here out of KCRW, the NPR station here, and they were talking about that M. Night Shyamalan is going to be like an untouchable for a while because that movie was such a failure.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Like, stay away from him.
No,
like,
I think he's
not
been building
be able
towards
to,
that, but
right,
I do
but
understand
that
was, that
was
like
strong.
The capper that
and
they were like,
is...
well, we can't do this anymore.
So it's interesting. Yeah. We can predict it, like you're saying, but also, is that causing great effects? Not necessarily. I mean, I didn't see The Lone Ranger in part because I knew The Lone Ranger wasn't doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to convince yourself to go see something that you know is failing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, to me, I didn't go see that movie because I wasn't interested in it. And it didn't like pitch itself to me that way. And so nobody saw it that I knew. And so nobody was telling me, oh, you should really go see it. Because that to me is like what makes movies successful. So then if on top of that, if the, like, word of mouth is Google telling you, this is 95% shitty, like, then nobody's
right,
going to go see
right.
it. Because, like,
yeah,
how
the
many
word
people
of Goog.
Aren't just, like, going to movies for fun? They're not, like, super movie nerds or something. Like, they're definitely not going to go.
Well, that also might have something to do with what you're saying is kind of a glut of information now.
Yes.
Because it's not just, like, you read the New York Times review on something or it's, like, a big-budget action movie, so it doesn't necessarily even get a New York Times review or it's a small-budget action. What you're saying is, like, literally, you can find out what people think of everything
yeah.
now. So if something is going to fail, it is going to fail enormously. It's not just going to be like, yeah, I haven't really heard too much about it, but we're here, we'll go see it. And it's like, it's so easy to find out what is not doing well. I mean,
yeah.
it's all around us. And I guess the final thing that I would bring up here with kind of talking about word of mouth and how that's going to affect things, I've been thinking a lot about Kick-Ass 2 coming out and everything that's happening with Jim Carrey stepping away from his promotion of the film because he felt that the gun violence in the movie was too much for him. That has garnered a ton of attention for the movie. I actually think that that movie is probably one of the things that I've been hearing the most about in terms of summer releases, and it's because he is standing up to that. So that's
yeah.
also a function of what's going on right now. You know, the Sharknado Twitterverse that we live in. We hear about Jim Carrey saying, I'm not sure if I want to be in this movie. And that, does that make you want to see it more?
I think with the Jim Carrey thing specifically, it was kind of nice. Like, when he wrote that, I wasn't like, man, screw you, Jim Carrey. I'm going to go see that two times now. I was just like, that's valid. He made a valid, respectful point. Cool. I'm still going to go see it. It never turned into like this, I'm not doing this movie. And then the studio was like, well, I can't believe he said that. And then Jim Carrey, it didn't turn into like this catty back and forth nonsense. It was just like, we believe this. We believe that. Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm moving on. You know?
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, are you asking if it affected me?
Yeah. Is
like
it
going
to affect
watch
whether or not you're going to see it?
I don't know.
I think Ricky's right that it was respectful on both sides,
yeah.
which was cool to see because it could have devolved into, I mean,
a scandal.
Yeah. Scandal and nonsense. yeah. And
absolutely.
It could have devolved into that, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But Rhea, what do you think?
It does seem like less of a like PR stunt and more of a just like Jim Carrey's a little slow to get to where he's feeling about these things and it was late and that's just where he's at. So I don't know if I'm going to see that movie just in general, because I don't know how I feel about that movie and that property in general.
Actually, but yeah. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. We've talked about gun violence on the show before, and it is affecting my ability to see movies. It really is, because of all of the mass... I don't even want to... What do you even say? All of the tragedies that we've been seeing lately. It's harder to separate yourself from it. We have had the privilege in this country for a really long time to have like violence happening away from us in that way, or in certain neighborhoods. And if you just don't go in that neighborhood, then it doesn't feel like you live in a violent city, or it doesn't feel like you live in a violent country. And we just can't do that anymore. So... I don't know that I'll see Kick-Ass 2 for that reason, actually. Just because if he's having a problem with it, I think probably I would as well, honestly. Because it does, it is like affecting me when realistic and over-the-top, like gun violence specifically, is happening in movies these days. That's why I'm going to go see Elysium, where he's flying around or some shit. I don't know what's in that movie, but I don't think it's guns.
I think it's lasers.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like big, you know.
I think like, it's actually like ratchets.
You know, my arms are, you understand. You can tell from my arms.
Yeah.
Podcast audience, if you just see my arms, you would understand. All right, guys, we will be back with a little game after this. Awesome. And we are back. We are going to play a little game right now that is called Alternate Taglines. And we, today, for the show, we watched End of Watch. And so the tagline originally for this movie, this cop flick, this gritty L.A. beat cop, South Central, 2012 film. David Ayers wrote it, directed it, did all other stuff to it. He did all other stuff to it. The original tagline is, every moment of your life, they stand watch. So I asked Rhea and Ricky to please bring in an alternate tagline for this movie. Please, I would like to start with you, Rhea.
Okay. Mine is, every moment of your life, watch out, seriously, watch out, it is a dangerous world.
That's a good
That's my tagline. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that is conveyed by the movie perfectly. So I think that's great. Ricky, I'm really excited to hear what you came up with.
All right. My tagline is, it's in the key of Brian Adams,
ladies
and gentlemen.
Oh, which, Canadian pockmarks on the face, I got it.
Oh, that's your boy? He wears a denim jacket? Come on now. So please enjoy this awful Brian Adams impression I'm about to do. Every moment of your life, they stand watch. They do it for you. Bam. And then Brian Adams would have to be at every screening or wherever you watch. You would have to call Brian Adams. You'd get a phone number. Brian Adams' direct phone number.
Yeah, and then Christian Slater gets catapulted over.
Exactly.
I was just going to ask you, do they have to reshoot the film with them wearing like tunics and tights?
They could. Morgan Freeman's in there. Freeman
I feel
is
like
there.
That, okay, just want to make sure.
Alan Rickman.
You know what? I'm just going to, I know my pick on this. Mm. I think, first of all, Ricky, I thought you brought in you did a great job today.
Thank you.
I really thought that that song was well executed. I couldn't believe how much I thought I was recording with Brian Adams.
It's me.
I was like, hey, are you Canadian?
It's
I checked
me.
Your citizenship.
Is this the summer of 69?
And not because you are Latino. But also, Rhea, I just want to say that, you know, there's been times that Ricky has really schooled you in here. You know, there's been times that Ricky brought his A game
Many
and
times.
You had brought F G game.
Sure.
The F G game?
Yeah, you brought your F G
function. I bring my F G game quite a bit.
But tonight, you are a winner.
Thank you.
Because I think that your tagline really encapsulated the feeling of the movie, which is that you better watch the fuck out! Because it is a tough world!
There's a lot going on.
So I want to get right to our review of this movie.
Right into it.
Yeah. Do you need a second to prepare?
Just excited.
Okay.
Can I go change and put on my cop uniform?
All right. Yeah. We'll be back with the review after this.
Throwing shade is the art of deserved public disrespect, and no one does it better than Brian and I on our podcast, Throwing Shade.
Every week, we take off our pants and tell the people who are the enemies of ladies and gays where they can shove it.
They can shove it up their butts.
That was implied.
Check out Throwing Shade on the Maximum Fun Network.
I hate giving you compliments, but that was actually really good.
I know, I practiced like real hard.
Now you're bragging.
So now is the time in the show when we give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week, we chose David Ayer's 2012 film, End of Watch, as we just stated in our previous portion of the show. This is currently available on Netflix Watch Instant. As I said earlier, I actually really do recommend this film. I really enjoyed watching it. So if you have a chance to check it out, please do. And if you don't have a chance to check it out, then hey, no worries. We're hilarious. So just stick around and we'll get right to it. So I want to just first of all talk about what this film is about. So it is about two beat cop partners that work in South Central here in Los Angeles and are basically taking on... They are zealous. They want to do a good job, and they don't necessarily realize what they're messing with, and they get involved in kind of a back and forth with a gang, not even necessarily realizing that that's what they're about to do. But it's really more about the two cops as characters, as people, and it's a pretty full movie, I think. So there's a plot to it, but I think it's also very character-driven, more than most action movies, because I still would consider it... I mean, maybe it's like a cop procedural drama, or maybe it's a... But it's still very action-y. And I think the first thing I wanted to start just by talking about with you guys, something that really stood out to me about this movie, is just what this movie says about the career that an actor can have. Because there's very interesting... So the two buddy cops are played by Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña?
See.
And what is interesting about those two dudes is, like, Jake Gyllenhaal is really as broad as you can get in terms of as an actor. Like, he's been in Donnie Darko. He's been in City Slickers when he was a kid. He's been in The Day After Tomorrow. He's been in Brokeback Mountain. So he's been in, like, these
Prince
huge...
Prince of Persia.
He's been in Prince of Persia. So he's been in, like, huge Disney-esque blockbusters. And he's also been in, like, really... wildly indie films that also had a huge following. And I just think it's very interesting to think about him being in this movie alongside Michael Peña, who's really like the definition of a character actor. I mean, I was on his IMDb page, and almost every role he has played is on a cop show.
Yeah.
Like, he's either played a cop or the guy the cop is talking to in everything. Like, he's been in every... Think of every movie you can think of. Think of every television show you've... So I thought that was very interesting to think about those two being paired together just on the job. Like, thinking about that happening. Because I think the chemistry between the two of them is awesome.
Fantastic. And it's amazing how great those two are.
You don't always get to see, you know, somebody who has the range of, like, a Jake Gyllenhaal. He's in romantic comedies. He's in... You know, he's that real leading man guy. But then he's really matched by this great character actor, and they're perfect together. Mm-hmm. I can't think of, like, too many other... I mean, you know, there's a bunch of, I guess, examples of that, but it's just nice to see it. Two young dudes both have full careers ahead of them, and both have, like, these really different niches carved out.
And they're well-rounded characters as well. I mean, it was just great to see, like, there's so many things that are happening in this movie that you're used to seeing, but still at a different angle. First of all, they're cops... in South Central that you like. I mean, when's the last time you saw a movie where there's cops in South Central and half of them aren't, like, racist assholes or just straight-up douchebags where you're like, man, screw this officer.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you really are like, I'm on board with these guys.
Cops that you like who also are not good. Like, they're not. There's not clearly a good guy, bad guy situation where they are always doing everything right. Like,
right.
You get to see their mistakes and they're just, like, fucking around for half of the movie,
yep.
Which I think also makes you like them even more because you're saying it's, like, this very rounded picture of these are not... I mean, they're still kind of heroic, and when we get back to our best and worst, I'll give you some... Because I do think there's an imbalance in this movie a
yes.
little bit of who's the good guy, but still, they make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, you're not watching this movie and thinking that they're... It's not Tom Cruise fixing everything for everybody as a clone on a dystopian planet.
Right, right, totally, yeah. I mean, there's great shades of gray. Like, that one scene, I think it's pretty early on in the movie where they're on a beat and they go into, like, somebody's house, into that dude's house, And the guy's like, "What's up? Here's what we're gonna do. We gonna box." Yeah. And then whoever like gets the whoever you know, you I'll put these cups on me myself. And I was like, "That would be hilarious if that happens." And then that's it. That's exactly how that scene plays out. I was
Absolutely.
Like, "Oh, they're these kind of cops where it's like, yeah, the door's closed, nobody else is around. Let's fucking throw down right now and see what happens." As opposed to like, "No, no, no, we have to do this all by the book." Like that's real interesting, really interesting to watch, and to watch a Latino cop. Nine times out of ten, when I see a Latino cop in a movie, there's always that scene where he goes to visit the other Latinos who are in a gang, and then the sellout aspect of it comes in. Oh, this guy doesn't care about his people. There's just no mention of that whatsoever in this movie. This is a guy who's doing his job, and on this side of the law, he is completely respected, and on this side of the law, he is not respected just because he's a cop. That's it. He's the enemy. That's really exciting to see as opposed to just getting the cliches that we've already seen before. It's like, I've seen that movie. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. And also, like, the America Ferrera is also in this movie.
Yeah.
And she has sort not that traditional sellout scene, but she has an existing relationship with
yes.
one of the gang members.
Yeah.
And or a prior relationship with one of the gang members. And that is cool to see because I think you don't want it to go too much where there's no commonality between these people who might honestly look somewhat like you can't ignore saying that, oh, there might be some commonality here. But at the same time, there's clearly a division and it's not nobody's like.
Yeah, it felt like there was a history there. There was a rivalry there.
That made sense. Though.
Yes, exactly.
And it was awesome that it wasn't Michael Pena. Or Pena.
Yeah.
It wasn't his character that was doing
that.
Yeah,
it was
great.
It was two chicks.
Those two chicks are
somebody
great.
Else.
Two chicks facing off.
Character.
I love that it was two chicks also that, you know, that had like beef with each other. That's hilarious. And I just want to add, I'm so sorry. Just in terms of the casting on this movie, one more thing is that also really interesting that Anna Kendrick is in this. Because again, just to talk about like the field that whoever did the casting on this movie did a really interesting job. Because again, Anna Kendrick is like, she had a Billboard top 10 hit with her a cappella song from Pitch Perfect. Like that song it went top 10. Like that's who she is. And she's in like a gritty cop drama, but they used her correctly and she's not playing outside of herself. It's just interesting. You don't get to see.
Yeah.
There aren't very many movies where you get to see like big name actors or faces you've seen before and it kind of absorbs it. I mean, I didn't know it was America Ferrera for like the first hour of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Because she just looks so right in her
cop
outfit.
She actually looks like a cop.
Yeah.
They figured out how to make her look right. So anyway.
It reminded me of, remember how last week you were saying during the Hunger Games, where like actors pop in out of the side, where it's like, oh, there's that guy. Oh, there's that guy.
Yeah.
And that happened a lot in this movie, where I was like, hey, there's Anna Kendrick, or there's America Ferrera, or the one guy who plays, I can't remember his name right now, but the guy who plays like their sergeant every time like they get together at the beginning of the day, that's a guy who's great in
the
movie
hair?
Warrior. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it's just like, there's that guy. Every time somebody would pop up, I'd be like, oh, man.
And Rhea did a great spotting, which is that the other female cop that's America Ferrera's partner is the chick, is the love interest from Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, and is that right?
In Magic Mike, she plays like this wooden, stiff, like it's just weird. She's a weird addition to that movie because like she's not super like, they're kind of playing it like she's this like, she's seeking out this
like
dangerous boy and like teaching him the right way
and a good life that he could have and all that
but
stuff.
She's but she's kind of wooden.
There's nothing to her. She's just
it doesn't
like,
make any sense.
I don't know. What do you mean, Mike?
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't.
This is magic. You know, like the whole time. But
you
she
sit
plays
at my
a
card table.
She plays a great cop because like wooden and like.
But that's
a
how
perfect
a female cop would ask you on a date. Do you want to sit at my card table?
I have to see
God.
Magic Mike
that
with Rhea.
That is hilarious. Okay, let's get to the best and worst. Worst part of the movie for you, Rhea?
Well, I feel like we might be stepping on each other's toes. All of us, probably, because I feel like we maybe have this. Anyway, whatever. We're three parts of the same brain. The worst part for me is that it took itself like a little bit too seriously in terms of like the bad elements of the movie. Like Ricky was saying at the beginning, I think he fights with this guy named CK. And, like, that was an amazing start to, like, bring us into the world of what they're fighting against. And then just immediately, it's like, cartel! And then a huge gang! And, you can't really tell. We were talking about the movie, like the, I think, Mexican gang that is like the curbside gang. You don't really, they have no context at all. There's no context for why, you know, they're like taking over that territory that is like the black gang or black neighborhood. But then that's like kind of it. And then it just jumps to cartel stuff and like, yeah. It elevates really quickly. And I feel like all they needed to do, I think I mentioned this, was say like, yeah, Big Evil, he's starting to move up in the ranks and people are taking notice. In the cartel, they want him to take over. Like, they just needed to say that somewhere. Cause it,
yeah, it is funny
like
that they, like,
on?
Randomly encounter these, like, this, like, one particular gang member who just, like, happens to be connected to the cartel.
Right,
yeah.
Like, right.
It does seem that it's very convenient.
It's assuming that you maybe have the language of, like, this like drug movies or something, or bringing it into it.
It's a real
something.
Like throwaway line when they mention like it's like when whatever like that SWAT team or like DEA or like FBI group shows up, they're like, hey, be careful who you mess with. It'll come back to bite you. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And he said that.
And they never say, there's no like actual connection that like Big Evil is behind all of this stuff and this is the reason why. And like,
well, I also think that another thing that's happening here it's weird that, okay, so the big dog, like the top people in a gang are not, you're not going to easily be able to find them all the time, right? We're like kind of agreed on that.
Right.
Like that's the weird part about it, is that the first people that they ever encounter with this gang happen to be,
oh, like top rank.
They immediately,
they're the guys.
They
immediately
are the curbside meet, gang. Like the biggest guy. And I feel like that's what's weird about it, is that like eventually when they meet him again, they're like, oh, remember when we met you before? We didn't know you were the president of this. Like it just seems like it's like meeting,
it's convenient.
It's like meeting the CEO of a company like at the
Apple
basement
store?
Of the company. Like it just doesn't make any
buying an iPhone from Steve Jobs or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it just seems kind of weird that they're setting that up. That seems like one weird thing. And again, I don't know. It just feels strange that they would have. Yeah, it feels odd. But Ricky, what's your worst part?
Worst parts. I would have preferred a better bookend to the movie. The movie starts off literally right in the middle of this car chase through an alley. The movie ends, spoiler here, the movie ends with a scroll comes up that has the date, or it says like the day of training or something, and then it goes back to them in the car, Michael Pena and Jake Gyllenhaal, and they have like this nice little bonding moment together. I would have put, the movie is so real. It tries to entrench you so much in like this is how shit is. I would prefer that it just ended at the funeral, the cop's funeral. Boom, this is how it is on the job. People die. That's it.
Yeah.
And it felt like they were forcing too much, trying to make it just a nice little like, hey, it's okay. We're going to feel good at the end of this. And there was too much, the camera, the point of view of Jake Gyllenhaal's camera switching to the point of view of the director's camera. It got in the way too much, which just got distracting. I didn't know whose movie I was watching sometimes. I'd have preferred to just seen Jake Gyllenhaal's movie and have shots that kind of don't make sense. When I say shots, I mean like camera shots.
Yeah.
Like there's a scene in Cloverfield, which is another like first-person movie, and there's a scene where they all run around the corner of a street in New York, and there's a military there, and they just start shooting missiles, and you don't know what the hell is going on, because all you hear is lights flashing and sounds going on.
This is like
on.
A found footage element of trying to fit it all together.
In this movie, in like the big final gun battle scene between the cops and the Mexican gang, the camera starts to go to like this first person shooter, and I was just like, why am I seeing it like a video game now? I care about these guys, but now I'm seeing what the director wants me to see, and it just felt obtrusive.
Well, that's a great
and I
intro.
I just dropped the word obtrusive.
That's a great intro to my worst part, which is actually really similar to both. It's kind of bringing those two together, which is My worst part is the way that the gang specifically is involved in using cameras. Because
never
this
happened.
Movie, if okay, so if this movie had come out when Kids came out, the stuff that they would be, because a lot of, as Ricky's saying, a lot of things that happen in this movie, they rely on this sort of found footagey, fake found footagey element where like people are holding cameras and then it's supposed to look like that camera is shooting what's happening. The angles aren't even necessarily right where like that really wouldn't be what was being shot by that.
Yeah, have a camera in his hand, yeah, like a hand a gun.
Yeah, so it doesn't really make sense, but they're faking it. They're fudging it to try and make it look more raw. And I just think that it doesn't work anymore because that's not how we use cameras. Like, if this had happened, so in, like, again, using, like, kids, you know, something like that that's trying to show realism that much, when that movie came out, the idea that we could have video cameras was crazy still. So, like, I could see those dudes filming their lives just with this whole, like, can you believe we can even film something? Now, having a video camera in a movie, like, first of all, we don't use video cameras. Unless you are making a sketch that you have to put up on Funny or Die, nobody is using a video camera. We use our iPhones. It doesn't make any sense. Also, they have, like, these tiny but, like, really expensive, like nice cameras, and also why would the gang seemingly allows people to record them committing crimes?
Yeah, absolutely. Admitting to crimes.
Out, like hanging out at a party with multiple, no one does that who's not in a gang, so why would anybody in a gang hang out with
parties? I almost wanted like a scene of them in their bedroom with like huge movie posters, like, oh, these guys love movies, that's why they all carry cameras. There we go.
I just felt like that's the one thing where like David Ayers, who made this movie, I think he made so many great choices, and I do not know why he added that. Like, I don't know if he started production on this movie 10 years before it happened or, like, came up with the concept and then accidentally technology, you know, surpassed him or what it is, but it feels so strange and it is unnecessary. Not only could they have shot it, like you're saying, Ricky, they could have either done it more found footagey or just shoot from weird angles and never explain it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to, in the way that we watch movies now, we don't need to constantly be like, hey, why would the camera be there?
Right.
Like that's I know why the camera's there, because we're watching a movie.
Yeah, exactly. I read an interview with him after I watched the movie, and he said he wanted to make a YouTube version. Everybody's so much into YouTube right now, that's why he wanted to make this movie like you're watching YouTube. But I was still like,
that does not work.
It is stupid. Yeah.
Also, yeah. Why would you do that? Nobody wants to see your YouTube movie on a big screen. Go see, make a YouTube movie. There we go. The end. All right. So I am just going to go quickly through our best parts. So Rhea, what is your best part?
My best part is actually the chemistry between Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña. Because, I mean, it's all the cop side is really good. Okay.
Yeah, Ricky, what are you going to say?
I'm going to add on to that the chemistry between the two. There's a moment when Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña, Gyllenhaal starts talking like his sister. I was like, that's how friends talk.
I agree.
Make fun of each other's family.
Actually,
absolutely.
I think we're all going to have the same best part, which is I love the two of them together. They're fantastic. And somebody please put those actors in another movie together.
Yeah.
That's what made all the mistakes and the weird missteps. Like, I didn't care. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like in it to watch these dudes and their wives, significant others, and how they interact with everybody else. That's what made the movie for me.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I think that all the cop characters, as you were saying, but specifically those two, David Ayers should send them a note and just say, thank you, because you made the movie still awesome. All right, so to just conclude, Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 October skies.
Ugh.
How many October skies do you give End of Watch?
That's really hard because I hated October skies. So actually, I would give it 1 October sky because I loved this movie. So it's like an inverse.
Ooh.
And that, no, I mean, I would give it 4.
Okay.
Four
awesome.
Bunnies. Donnie Darko, Frank Bunnies.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for correcting with the Gyllenhaal movie that you wanted to
Yes,
use.
There you go.
I didn't mean to put you...
You're welcome.
Nobody
you put me on the spot and you made me feel uncomfortable.
Nobody puts baby in a corner, specifically if that baby hates October Sky.
Baby hates October Sky.
We're gelling. Are we gelling with our Gyllenhaals now? We're gelling with them?
So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, always being a cop, how many always being a cops do you give this movie?
I will give this movie 3 always being a cops.
Yeah, okay.
3.
I am giving End of Watch 4 Billboard Top 10 hits. I really agree. I understand every problem anybody could have with this movie, but God, it is fun to watch because those actors can act. So, yay. Just to close today, in conclusion, I want to ask what you guys are going to leave us with today. I'm going to start with you, Rhea.
I was thinking about, after we recorded our Hunger Games episode, I was trying to think of like a dystopic future movie that I could recommend, you know, because I didn't recommend that one that evening. And when I was a kid, we had cable like really early because I lived with my grandparents and my grandpa was like really into television. And so we had IFC when it launched, which was probably like, I don't know, 1994 or something like that. And so I was home a lot. And I happened to catch this movie when I was a kid about a guy who thought he was the last man on Earth for like a third of the movie. And then he runs into some people, like one person, and then they run into another person. And then they find out why they're surviving after this event. I don't want to, you know, ruin it or anything. It's called The Quiet Earth. But the great thing about this movie for me is that I was trying to find it for probably 12 years. Because this is pre, like, internet and pre-IMDb, or at least I didn't know about it. So I would ask people, like, have you ever heard of this movie? There's this weird
love thinking about
guy dresses up.
Like, at a McDonald's, or just, like, at school, or in a bathroom.
Well, at a Taco Bell.
You're, like, peeking your... Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to say that you go to McDonald's, because you actually do not. But yes, at a Taco Bell. Yeah. Or, like, peeking underneath a stall in a bathroom. Hey, excuse me.
Yeah. There's this movie. I'm trying to think
before
about it.
Before you
think
wipe,
it's New Zealand.
I just have to... This is this one thing.
Yeah.
So you, how did you find it?
I think that I actually found it from a podcast. I think I found it from this podcast called Seen Unseen, which is like one of the original movie podcasts, because they would recommend a movie at the end of it. And I was like, oh my God, because they describe it like the movie before they say the title of it. And I was like, that's a movie. This is a movie. Oh my God, this is a movie. Like losing my mind.
And then
at my
your
desk.
iPhone powers down.
No!
And then you drop it in the toilet of the woman who you're asking, why was it in her toilet? I don't know. You were dangling up from the.
Then I just got a Crunchwrap Supreme and took off.
So. The Quiet Earth.
Yes, The Quiet Earth. It's okay. Very bizarre and interesting and weird. And you should check it out.
Do you know where you can find it?
No.
Okay, great.
The internet?
The internet.
Find it and send it to Rhea for
and also,
her birthday, which is coming up.
Yeah, coming up. Also, how about them Pirates? Baseball
I don't know
fans
what you're
that
talking
listen
about.
To this show. Tweet at me
all
about
right.
it.
Ricky Carmona, what are you thinking about this week?
We need to get a camera in here on all of this.
Yeah, just, we need vest
there's
cameras.
There's a whole other show that's happening,
we
people.
We do need vest
it's
cameras.
It's great. I would like to recommend to people a wonderful documentary that has just been added on Netflix Instant called Shut Up and Play the Hits about Ooh. The band LCD Sound System, which is a fantastic band that is no more. And it's a documentary that it takes place the final four concerts that they put on at Madison Square Garden. And it's that is cut in with an interview with James Murphy, who is the lead singer of the band, him giving this interview the day after their final concert, when they are no more. So it's kind of fun to watch that dynamic. It's really similar to Jay-Z's Fade to Black documentary.
I was gonna say, or End of Watch. That sounds like how that movie's set up, too.
Yeah,
well,
there's good
is
book
a
ending.
Crazy hardcore Mexican gang that keeps
right,
showing
right, right.
up at the concert. It's very crazy, but it's a really great documentary. It's shot fantastically. If you have a solid surround system, turn that shit up because it's banging. That's it.
Oh, that's awesome. This week I am thinking about, so I've been taking a risk lately and I've been writing down my feelings because usually I put them into microphones and tell them to audiences or podcast them. But I have always hated writing. Very much. And then I found out that I took a risk and I wrote something about rape jokes like a bunch of months ago. And people had this crazy response to it, which was that they liked it. And I guess I always felt more like my ideas were different from other people's, like especially as a comic, that I was more isolated in terms of my thoughts. And it turns out that I've gotten a ton of positive response and I've written some other things as well. And then as of tomorrow, well, actually, when you guys hear this, it will be yesterday, something that I wrote about a recent experience I had with a heckler will be up on Laughspin. So some of my stuff is now like being republished other places, and I'm really excited about that. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that's been giving me feedback. I know there are listeners to this show that have been like interacting with the things I've been writing, and please let me know if you like them, I guess. Please let me know if you're reading them, because it really makes a huge difference. I guess I always thought, being a woman in comedy and being like a gay performer, that people were, that my experience was not, that it was more singular. But I've just felt, I've just been like really stoked and super humbled by everybody's, by a large response of positivity. So I just want to say thanks for that. And it really does mean a lot. I really do read all the interactions that you guys put out there, and it makes me feel like I'm not alone.
So. You know it's true. Everything we do.
Oh, it's cool. So next week, we are going to be watching Elysium, which I am so excited about. Please get to the theater and watch that. We want you to. We care about it. We are excited about it. Until next week, I am Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.